So to be clear, Mr. Trump has no financial relationships with any Russian oligarchs.
That's what he said. That's what I said. That's obviously what our position is.
I'm not aware of any of those activities. I have been called a surrogate at a time or two in that campaign, and I did not have communications with the Russians.
What do I have to get involved with Putin for? I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing.
So, it is political. You're a communist.
No, Mr. Green. Communism is just a red herring. Like all members of the oldest profession, I'm a capitalist.
Hey, welcome to Mueller, She Wrote. I'm AG. I use an alias because I work for the federal government, and using my name to promote private enterprise violates the Hatch Act, and unlike some people I know, government ethics means something to me. God damn it. So, I'm going to go by AG. Joining me, as always, is Jordan Coburn.
Hello.
And Jaleesa Johnson.
Hey, what's up?
Two very funny, intelligent ladies that I decided have to be part of this because they make me so happy. All right. Now, we're going to start, as we do every week, with just the facts. So, it seems like as these weeks go by, this is the second week now without an indictment, And every Sunday after we record this episode, I think, ah, oh, crap, there's not going to be any news this week. And then there's just so much news. And what we're going to try to do here is kind of break it down for you, parse it out, kind of try to simplify it for you. But this is seriously, and you know, no joke here, this is like a War and Peace situation with all the characters and all the plot lines. It's Game of fucking Thrones.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Where you're like, what house is doing who now, and who, where's the, and it's just absolutely. So we've got House Trump, and House Kushner, and yeah. And it's the most ridiculous, seemingly fictional spy thriller, twisted War and Peace Game of Thrones piece of shit thing that's happening in the whole fucking world right now. And it's super fascinating. And the conjecture is just so much fun. But for now, just the facts. And I really want to, you know, emphasize that we have a couple of different sections in this podcast. First of which, we talk about facts, known facts, published facts, or leaked facts. And this is not conjecture. These are not theories. This is just stuff that happened this past week in the Russia investigation. So the first fact, Donald Trump Jr.'s private Twitter messages to WikiLeaks leaked. So it's like a WikiLeaks leak.
Mm, yes.
Which is fantastic to
it's
me.
It's beautiful.
But yeah, so that happened. And then in true Donald Trump Jr. style, he sent them, like he published them himself. Like, remember when his emails came out and then he released his emails?
I remember that.
New York Times was about to break the story that they've been working on for like a year.
Oh my God.
And yeah. He just goes, oh, here you go.
Just to appear open.
Well, he's done that again.
He tried.
Yeah, this whole thing is just backtracking to try to make yourself look transparent.
Exactly.
And it's so hilarious.
Do you know who leaked those documents?
It was not WikiLeaks. It was, let's see, I've got it in my notes here.
At their own game.
Wall Street Journal.
Okay.
Ooh. Nope, that's not it. Okay. Donald Trump Jr. messages to WikiLeaks leaked. And here is the explanation. Let's see if it says here. I can't remember who leaked them.
I love the fact checking in real time. This is
I'm sorry.
No, we're thorough.
I was curious because, yeah, when WikiLeaks comes out.
It's a good point. Yeah,
well,
yeah.
It wasn't WikiLeaks.
Exactly.
Julia Ioffe wrote an article in The Atlantic.
Got it.
She obtained messages turned over to congressional investigators.
Beautiful. Okay.
Yeah,
thank
I read
so
an Atlantic article today and they're really good about it. They know their stuff.
Mainstream, media leaking, leaks.
Okay.
If you know, for liking to be peed on by prostitutes, Donald Trump really has a problem with leaks.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
Fact number two. Jeff Sessions testified before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Again.
Mm-hmm.
Fact number three, six congressmen in the House of Representatives introduced articles of impeachment this week. Five articles of impeachment. Dun dun. Next fact. Mueller subpoenaed emails and documents from 12 Trump campaign officials. That came out pretty late in the week. I think it was Thursday, and that was the Wall Street Journal story. He's now directly subpoenaed Trump.
This is the first time it's happened, right? I didn't read that.
Yeah, that's a new thing. So, and this is emails and documents, and it's all regarding the Russia probe. Yeah. Well, I can't say that with certainty. I want to be clear about that.
That's a good point.
All I know is that it's 12 subpoenas. For documents and emails.
For the investigation.
It's Mueller who's doing it, so I'm assuming.
But he can do anything.
But it could be about money laundering. Yeah. It could be about this Turkish issue going on.
I'm
it could be.
That. That's a good point.
Yeah, I don't want to just come out and say it's definitely about Russia.
Right.
I just want to be clear about the facts. Right. Mm-hmm. Next fact: a second meeting was found to have taken place between Michael Flynn and the Turks. This one was in December of 2016. That first meeting was in September. And I'm going to talk a lot about Flynn in the second segment of this show. He's special. The next fact here, the Senate Judiciary Committee released a letter to Kushner, Jared Kushner, asking him to produce documents they know were missing from his subpoena. Mm-hmm. When they, you know, when they went to him and said, give us all your stuff. There were documents missing. And they know that because other parties turned those documents in. And these are emails that were sent to Kushner that he received or that he forwarded. For example, there was an email that he received about, quote, a Russian backdoor overture and dinner invite, which sounds dirty. And he actually received that email and he forwarded it to other campaign officials. And he also had communications in email with Sergei Milian. He's a rich Russian banker, oligarch guy. He's also a key source for the Steele dossier.
Interesting.
So we're getting close to the P tapes.
This is crazy.
Next fact. Rob Goldstone. Remember that big weirdo?
Mm-hmm.
He's the one who kind of facilitated the June 9th, 2016 meeting, the big one.
Right.
His lawyer has been communicating for a while now with Mueller. That came out this week.
Unbeknownst to his client, do you know?
No, Rob Goldstone knew.
Okay.
And now Rob Goldstone is saying, and he's told the press, that he's ready to come and speak to Mueller.
Oh, snap. So they've been planning this together. Mm-hmm.
So, what? Yeah, maybe. We can theorize. But the fact is, Goldstone's lawyer has been communicating with Mueller's team, and now Goldstone is ready to speak to Mueller. If Mueller wants to talk to him, Mueller might not even need him.
That's a good point.
But if Goldstone, and again, we're going into conjecture land right now, but if Goldstone has something to say about why those meetings were set up, or how they were set up, or what they were set up for, or what the intentions of the meetings were for, or any documents from the meetings, or any recordings of the meetings, because, you know, Russian spies never record anything, he would have those. Exactly. And that would be additional, I guess, evidence.
Yeah, it's safe to say.
Because the way Mueller works, and I've noticed this, kind of like my ex-boyfriend, he asks questions that he already has the answer to. And not just because he thinks he knows the answer, but because he's got proof to back up
and
the answer.
And it's more telling to get your, you know, honest reaction.
So he'll go, where were you Thursday at 6? And he's got proof of exactly where you were Thursday at 6, but he wants to hear it from you.
Yeah.
Because if you lie to him, that's a felony.
I fall for it.
It is a federal felony to lie to a special prosecutor.
Wow.
So he's just a dick, and I love it.
And he's probably just not going to not like a domino effect speculation. So many people can get caught like that. It's human.
And at the end of the interview, he can show his cards and say, you lied 6 times. You want 6 felony counts, or do you want to tell me what Donald Trump Jr. was doing that day? That's his M.O., and I love it.
Special prosecutor.
His Mueller of operations.
Crazy.
Next fact. The FBI has uncovered 60 money transfers from the Russian Foreign Ministry to embassies across the globe, and the ones here in the United States had memos on them saying, quote, to finance the election campaign of 2016, unquote.
Is this a joke?
No, that's not a joke. That was almost this week's sabotage.
Wow.
Because that's so fucking...
You have a better sabotage than
that? Yeah. How would that change your indictment picks?
Like 7 facts and a lie is what it sounded like. Just like you made up the last one.
We should totally play that game.
Oh,
so yeah, that's, yeah. Next week what we'll do is we'll go through these facts and you tell me if you think they're real or not.
Oh my gosh, yes.
That would be fun.
Beautiful.
All right, next fact. Despite outcries from Paul Ryan, Mitch McConnell, and Jeff Sessions, and the RNC pulling campaign funding, Roy Moore is announcing that he's staying in the race for the Alabama Senate seat, left vacant by Sessions. So what does this have to do with Russia, you ask? Like, why do I even bring up Roy Moore, besides his, you know, titillating Joseph and Mary relationships that he had when he was in his 30s? Well, here's what it has to do with Russia. And this could be big. And now we're going to go into conjecture land. So that's the fact. Here's conjecture.
Okay.
If Roy Moore wins in Alabama, if a known pedophile wins the election in Alabama, which I wouldn't put it past him to win.
Yeah.
No, you know, no offense to Alabama or anything, but that voting, that Christian right voting wing is so strong there.
A lot of my family, people think that way, yeah.
And now with the whole Joseph and Mary defense, which is the weirdest defense because Mary was a virgin, but whatever.
But it hits home for a lot of people.
Like, he never ended up banging Mary. It's not.
Right.
Yeah, she
was immaculate.
And nowhere in the entire Bible does it say how old she was, by the way.
Which is really interesting.
She could have been like 40.
Yeah.
Probably not. 40-year-old virgin.
Ooh.
You never know.
I like that.
Well, she could have. She could have been fugly, man. I don't even know. Hey, I don't know. I wasn't there.
There's no color books for
this. Is
picture books?
Nope. There's no photos, so
there
it didn't happen.
Books, I guess.
That's my thing with the whole like Al Franken boob grab situation. They're like, yeah, but there's a photo. Trump didn't do it. There's no photos of Trump. There's a photo of this, and I'm like, is there a photo of Jesus? Is there a photo? Do you have like photo evidence of the shit that you're talking about that happened in the Bible?
The
fucking
a rendering. Just, yeah.
Yeah.
Artistic
I
rendering.
I would never say poor Al. Like, I like Al, but like, you know, screw Al for that. Like, but thank you for admitting it. That's huge. I know we're digressing here. I'm sorry.
I know. Yeah, we're kind of going off the track. I mean, we could have a whole separate podcast about sexual assault.
Yeah.
But that is a bummer because Al Franken had become a champion for women, whether he was at one point or not.
Mm-hmm.
As a comedian, we're all female comedians in this room. We know how male comedians act, and that doesn't excuse it. It's terrible. It's shitty. I personally, just on a side note, think he should step aside.
I agree.
Because we have to send a swift, strong message to the right that we don't tolerate this shit.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we let him go, for years they're going to be like, you let Franken go.
Exactly.
Just like we let Clinton go.
Yeah.
Because they use that now, and how fucking long ago was that?
Exactly. It shouldn't have happened. They're right.
They'll be using this shit forever.
Yeah.
So.
It does suck to lose a
bit. But Roy Moore
crowd,
just
said,
But
there is no moral equivalency with Moore and Franken or Trump. There's
right.
none. There's
right.
absolutely
fucking
none.
Pedophilia.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And did you hear Sarah Huckabee Sanders' reason for Trump
no.
being innocent versus Moore or versus Franken? Because one of the, in a presser, somebody asked her, like, well, if Franken, you're asking him to step aside and condemning him, then why doesn't Trump have to face his own 12 to 16 women who are coming forward with sexual abuse allegations?
Right.
And she goes, well, that's different. And he goes, how is it different? There's no difference. And she goes, it's very different. The difference is Al Franken said he did it and Trump has said he didn't do it. And I'm like, that's it? So if Al Franken just said he didn't do it, you guys would be all cool?
That's crazy.
Anyway, we digress.
Yeah,
you're correct.
Roy Moore does
I know.
So here's what this has to do with Russia. If Roy Moore, back to the beast, if Roy Moore wins and he's seated in the Senate can and probably will oust him. They can fire him with a 75% vote.
Yeah.
By saying he's unfit. That's one of the things built into the Constitution that just in case some crazy rogue stupid state elects a pedophile, you know, the Senate and go, no, bro.
Nice.
No.
Nah, bro.
Now, if they kick him out, that's going to leave a Senate seat open. And the governor can appoint an interim senator. And she could appoint Jeff Sessions, which would leave the attorney general spot open.
Just like chess. Back and forth.
That would leave the attorney general spot open, and Trump could install his own attorney general who would shut down the Mueller investigation.
Wow.
Sessions can't because Sessions has recused himself.
He needs someone that's not recused.
And Trump's actually said the words, if I'd known he was going to recuse himself, I wouldn't have hired him.
That's why he was so mad, yeah.
And if he just fired Sessions and replaced him to oust Mueller, that would raise eyebrows.
Just like what we did with
Yeah, but if you're, you know, if you're, we need him to fill in the Senate seat, you know, it kind of takes that pressure off. And when you add to the fact that major Republicans have come out against Roy Moore, it sets them up to show we would never support this guy anyway. So we're just doing what we already said we were going to do. That is all.
That's crazy.
Borderline
that.
Conspiracy theory, but It would be very easy for a new attorney general to stop the Mueller investigation, not necessarily by firing Mueller, but just by defunding it and ordering it to stop.
That's crazy.
Because Mueller reports to Department of Justice and the attorney general.
Oh, my God.
Well, he kind of doesn't report to anybody, but the attorney general can fire him, just like Archibald Cox got fired.
Yeah, it's a check of powers. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But,
if can Mueller move to indict people sooner and then they could kind of freeze the investigation so Trump couldn't do that?
What we're hoping, and what I'm hoping, and again, conjecture, is that these major indictments go down before the election in Alabama.
Which is, I'm sorry.
December 12th, I think.
Okay.
Mid-December.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of talk about there being arrests before... well, we'll get into that in the conjecture part.
Okay.
Remind me to talk about potential arrests and Thanksgiving.
Ooh, yes.
Oh, God.
That's going to be a fun family dinner discussion.
So that's what Roy Moore might potentially have to do with Russia. But again, that's conjecture. Mm-hmm. All right. So I wanted to get into talking about Michael Flynn and the Turks.
That's nobody's business but the Turk.
Here, basically the way I broke this down is what we already know and what's new.
Right.
What we already knew and what just came out this week. Because we've known some stuff for a bit.
Yeah.
But there's some new shit that went down this week. Yeah. So here's what we already know. Flynn was offered up to $15 million to find and extradite Fethullah Gulen. That's a Islam mystic who lives in Pennsylvania, and the Turks hate him. Erdogan wants him, I don't know, probably dead.
Yeah.
So they... met in September 2016 with Flynn and said, and they started kind of planning this, like, we want to get rid of this guy, I have $15 million. And Flynn's like, I don't know. And then, let's see, there was a meeting. Oh, yeah, my second fact was that. There was a meeting in September 2016 between Flynn and Erdogan's people about the $15 million job. And Flynn wrote an op-ed piece about how terrible Gulen is. That's the Turk.
Oh, my God.
That's the Turk mystic.
Right.
That Erdogan wants him to kidnap.
Yeah, but nobody would care about him when he's gone.
And he released this op-ed.
Objectively written, of course. Just.
And he released this op-ed on Inauguration Day. That's weird.
Huh.
That's weird. So that's a fact. I'm not going to say anything about why that's weird or anything, but let's get into what's new here.
Mm-hmm.
This week, NBC reports... that during the second meeting with the Turks, they found out that there's a second meeting in December of 2016 with the Turks. They discussed something else with Flynn. First of all, they solidified the kidnapping plan. They talked about, like, they actually had a private jet ready, and they were set, like, it was there were steps. It wasn't just like, hey, wouldn't this be cool?
Yeah, they
were laying down the plan. Mm-hmm. There's a second thing that went on in that meeting. A plan to spring a guy from a New York City prison facing charges of laundering hundreds of millions of dollars because Erdogan wants this guy freed. He's a Turkish.
He's freeing one of his friends and he's a Turkish oligarch. He's bringing back one of his enemies.
So he says, Flynn, along with this deporting of the Gulen guy, can you spring my buddy from prison?
You know, just a pit stop on the way to bringing that guy to me, you know?
This past week, the Uber, just put him in an Uber.
Yeah, lip line.
This past week, the night before that guy was set to go to trial, that rich, and he's laundering money with the Iranians, and it has to do with sanctions, like funding terrorism, like this is fucked up shit.
My goodness.
The night before he was set to go on trial in New York federal court, New York federal court, he's released from jail.
Oh, they got him free. Oh, no.
However, he's released into the custody of the New York attorney, and he's apparently cooperating with authorities.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, Mueller intercepted.
I don't know if it's Mueller.
Okay. All right.
That's conjecture. But he could totally be flipping on Flynn right now.
Wow.
Oh, yeah.
He could totally be flipping on Flynn, like...
Flipping on Flynn. I like that.
Like, yeah, we were going to pay him a shitload of money to release me from jail, and in return, we were going to do this or whatever.
Because it's just another way to troll them.
So we don't know if he's flipping Flynn, but he's definitely naming accomplices in his money laundering scheme, which is good for the country. Wow, that's just good for the country.
Yes.
So he's cooperating with authorities.
Crazy.
And finally this week, the FBI interviewed Hank Cox. Hank Cox is the editor who helped Flynn publish his op-ed on Gulen on Inauguration Day. So they interviewed Hank Cox.
Interesting.
Like, that's interesting too.
Yeah.
So what did he know?
Yeah, what did he say?
So why is Mueller interested in him? Because Trump firing Comey for investigating Flynn would be obstruction. Mm-hmm. We initially thought he was investigating Flynn for lying on his FARA documents, right, not filling out and declaring his lobbying efforts. So he could have been charged with obstruction for not filling out a form. Mm-hmm. Now he could be charged with obstructing justice for firing Comey to stop an investigation into him helping a $100 million plus money launderer and kidnapping some mystic for Erdogan.
It could all come full circle.
That obstruction could carry with it a much heavier punishment, mm-hmm, or many more counts. That is more conspiracy. Definitely. With a foreign government,
right. Yeah, yeah.
Than I didn't fill a form out.
Right.
Whew. But he might have just brought him in on the form. I love Mueller.
He's the best.
Or it could be obstruction because Comey was investigating, the kidnap, the Spring Flynn conspiracy, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those could be weightier charges. So that's what's going on with the Turks. That's and insane. Flynn. And you know, man, I was in Turkey in 1989, right after the wall came down. It's a great place. They're nice people. I don't understand. Like, this Erdogan guy is...
This is crazy.
Fucking... He's diabolical.
Yeah.
So Flynn was essentially just going to use his, I guess, whatever political ties or power he had to get these things done.
But National Security Advisor.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
But in terms of
Oh, and Pence didn't know, of course.
Oh, yeah. He just didn't know.
Yeah. Shout out to Pence. But the $15 million, that was just going to be strictly independent of any sort of, government, U.S. government pool of money, right? That was going to Flynn just literally taking $15 million.
It would have been laundered somewhere, but it would have been his.
That's crazy.
It might have been laundered with that guy from jail.
Yeah.
Now, conjecture, just making stuff up.
Wow.
All right, so now we're going to go over to Jaleesa. And yeah. Jaleesa, I asked you to tell us all about Donald Trump Jr. and his WikiLeaks Twitter conversations.
Yes. So this was really funny because ultimately, I don't know if he did anything criminal, but just connecting the dots was really fun here. So
fun.
It's a little interesting, all things considered. So September of last year, 2016, WikiLeaks kind of slid into Donald Trump Jr.'s DMs on Twitter. And
it's interesting. That's the same month Flynn met with the Turks.
Yeah, connecting the dots, right? So so basically they just said, hey, we heard about this anti-Trump super PAC, called PutinTrump.org or something like that. Any comments? Oh, little side note. They also said they found out their password and they shared that password with Don Jr. So this was just all in one little message.
Assange, right? WikiLeaks?
Yeah, exactly. So Don Jr., he's like, oh, I don't know who that is. This is off the record, but I'll ask around. And then now he has friends that are coming out saying he did ask around, but that was the first contact. So there's been several other tweets, and I think it's really funny because he seems like he really thought these guys were on his side. Like, WikiLeaks was known as this independent organization, and everyone kind of saw it that way. But it turns out that they might actually be kind of a troll machine of their own.
I was going to say they're trolls.
Yeah, they might have actually just tricked him into thinking that it was a safe little, connection to actual leaked documents. And a few months ago, I kind of would have thought that WikiLeaks was dropping things just to be neutral. But yeah, they might actually be one of Putin's, machines. So people actually think in the intelligence community that Putin chose them. So maybe they started off as a neutral organization, but at this point they have a clear agenda and they've been sending these little, Twitter messages basically asking Don Jr. to release his dad's tax returns, and they were asking them to tell Australia to appoint a certain person as ambassador of the U.S. They're making demands.
That's weird.
Yeah, but the funny thing is that they're kind of following through. So Don Jr. only replied, thanks, and I'll ask around and things like that. But he ended up, kind of acting on these requests anyways, except for the tax returns. And now it's just, I don't know if he knows at this point that he was being played, but, back then, it's just, he was, maybe they were kind of in it together. I don't know. It would be hard to, I guess, figure out now if there's any way that Putin said, we're going to work with you with WikiLeaks to discredit the media and things like that, and Don Jr. is going to be our guy, or they kind of just crept in and made it seem like they were anonymous or something. But
just to try to get more documents.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's kind of you know, we don't know what's up at this point. But as far as, like, anything incriminating, it's just, like, really sad to see him fall for it, I think. Like, yeah, because I feel like either way, whether they were, like,
in together, not the brightest crayon in the sea, not, man.
He tries so hard to, like, seem put together and, like...
Yeah. His brother is...
I mean, Eric came out strong this week, right? That's the big winner. He wasn't involved, so... As far
I
as
am
you know,
okay. Hey, guys.
Yeah, no, it's just really weird because let's say there is this bigger idea of Don Jr. was known as, like, the connection for WikiLeaks, and that was all planned with all of them. That would be, like, the thing that Mueller would be able to figure out. But I feel like as far as, like, a regular person just, like, reading about this, it's so funny. It's, like, it's just sad. I really think that not only are we being played by Putin, but, like, they were too. Like, that's the idea, is that, like, I don't think this is all going to come out with, like, clear winners and losers, like, within America. I think we're all just going to be sad, maybe. Like, no matter what happens, yeah. We all are really
it's
Putin
silly.
Has decades of, like, manipulation experience
yeah.
in government, and they're just coming in just, like, Papadopoulos, right, it was Papadopoulos, I think, right, that deleted his Facebook in an attempt to
exactly.
delete the evidence of his communications
he's
with people.
Exposing
it's like,
how dumb we are.
You're, like, a millennial. You should know that. Exactly. That's not how...
We were,
the
like,
internet works.
Taught that we were the best, like, you know, and all these things. Like,
I heard a great story, a great anecdote from my friend Tamer, and he talked about how he used to work, when he was working in the ad agency business, he would golf with these CEOs, these uber-rich guys, and they would find out that he does comedy, and then they would tell him one of their jokes, like these rich guys. And they're the worst, most terrible jokes. And he thought to himself one day, he's like, why do CEOs tell such bad jokes? And he realized that these guys are rich and powerful, and when they tell jokes, everyone laughs at their jokes.
Oh, that's so sad.
So they have no mirror up
yeah.
to them.
But now, like, other people are, like, hearing them speak and seeing
yeah.
them in everyday life, and we're like...
Whoa. Trump thought he was awesome and that we all thought he was awesome until he became mm-hmm. president and found out we all think he's an idiot,
yeah.
and now he's like, meh.
Exactly.
That's
why Kanye could relate.
Politics is the
yeah.
great mirror.
Yeah,
it is.
You will have that mirror held up to your face, and... people who don't like you, you're going to find out about it.
Mm-hmm.
And then any millennial should know that with YouTube comments.
Yeah. Trump just fell for it. I think he really did think he was going to be more liked after all of this. Like, oh, they loved Obama, and I know people that hated him, so maybe the people that hated me will love me. It's just
now,
such a
the when you're talking about the Trump Jr. released screenshots, right, of what
yeah so okay
he claimed were all of his messages
exactly. So at some point when they were communicating, he actually tried to, like, work with them to make it seem like WikiLeaks had dirt on the you know Trump administration too, so they weren't just putting out things like the DNC leaks and Hillary
right.
emails. They were like, oh, we do all kinds of stuff
right.
Oh, so he's basically admitting that they have compromising information on them and make them vulnerable to blackmail.
Exactly.
What a
yeah.
dipshit.
Yeah.
Now, what does that have to do? I think this has something to do with Kushner's documents that he failed to turn in, because several of the documents that were known to exist, according
yeah.
to the Senate Judiciary Committee, concerned the 2016 email communications
mm-hmm.
to Kushner about WikiLeaks from Donald Trump
exactly,
Jr.
Exactly, because it happened during the campaign. They
so not only
that.
Did Donald Trump Jr. not publish those particular tweets when he released them,
mm-hmm.
but Kushner, in his initial release to the Judiciary Committee, didn't turn over the documents concerning the communication
doesn't
with WikiLeaks.
Good.
Why are you
right.
hiding that?
He's trying to catch him in a line.
These are documents he would have gotten from Don Jr. directly.
Or anyone that was involved. Because he forwarded these, actually.
These are emails.
Kellyanne Conway,
so
these Jerry Kushner, and
this
Steve
started
Bannon.
As a Twitter DM?
It started
yeah,
as Twitter,
so basically, yeah. So
email.
So like
DT
Jr. was
okay.
like Twittering, messaging WikiLeaks, and getting these links and passwords and all this cool information. And then he would email that information
right.
to Kushner.
Mm-hmm.
And Kushner, in turn, forwarded that to other campaign officials.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mueller knew all that, but Kushner held those documents back when he released his
right.
Subpoena for documents.
Right.
And Donald Trump Jr. didn't show you all of his WikiLeaks communications either.
Oh, I love that you made that connection. I did not until just now. That's perfect. Like... literally, when I was reading this, I was just like, man, this is hilarious. But it's also, like, it makes perfect sense that this is also really important. Because I've seen some interviews, too, from, like, Fox News and stuff. And all kinds, actually, seen it, where it's, like, they say, they have a panel, and some people are like, oh, well, what does this really matter, though? And, like, they're just trying to use anything to make, you know, Trump and his campaign look like they were, like, you know, bad people. But, no, it does matter.
Well, WikiLeaks...
why would they lie?
In September of 2016, WikiLeaks the Goldstone fella and that 2016 meeting, that normally in research, when you need to prove something with data, you have to triangulate it, meaning you need three data sets to really show validity.
Right.
We now have WikiLeaks, we now have the Goldstone, and we have the 2016 meeting. All those things together triangulate collusion and conspiracy with Russia. Mm-hmm. Now we just have to find, we've got the smoking gun.
Oh, yeah.
We just have to find the bullet. And one of these people is going to flip on him. Any one of these people could flip on him.
There's just so many.
Manafort may have already flipped on him.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think the chances are of Twitter having been cooperating with them already? Because I know
the stock and stuff.
Or like? Twitter or Facebook. Well, no, just people. So my thing is, like, how are conversations like that going on, and and then they weren't being flagged in any way, or like. How, like,
well, just like when Al Franken was asking, like, how did you not notice when, like, the rubles were being used to buy political ads? I wonder if anyone's been looking in that direction.
Yeah, like, well, I just don't get why they don't have to answer any of those questions.
They should
That's kind of weird to me.
It's a good point. Yeah, I think now everyone should just take a good look and say, did I help collude with Russia?
Well, the opposite effect of that is kind of an invasion into privacy, where they're going to look at all of your tweets and all of your Twitter messages and all of your Facebook messages, and if the word Russia is mentioned or if you know, then they're going to flag them, and then somebody's got to go through them, and then and then that's kind of big brothery.
It's a very sensitive topic.
But, like,
topic.
What do we, what's the Patriot Act for then?
Exactly.
You know, like, I know
thank
that
you.
It's, like,
well, we
it was created for a very specific purpose, but, like, it's, like, you think this would be one of the things.
Yeah,
like,
and you know what, if I send, if AG sends a message to Jaleesa about the Russia probe, don't flag that as much as if Donald Trump Jr. sends a message to WikiLeaks about Russia. Like,
exactly. Maybe, like, hello.
Maybe put those three data points together.
Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Give someone a job to do that.
Like, yeah, I don't know, but
sorry,
they, but he's closing in. So I don't know. We'll see. You got
That's
anything
crazy.
Else for us with the DT Jr.?
Well, let's see. I love that you brought that together for me, because I kind of left off, like, doodling at a certain point, because I just was like, this is ridiculous. Like, it's just, like, I feel like we were just getting trolled, but I think the bigger issue is, like, sure, if we're being trolled, like, but still, like, someone should answer for it. Like, that's the idea, is that there should be consequences for these actions. It's not just a small thing. It's like, there's a bigger picture.
Well, so now we've got, to go a little bit into theory land, we've got WikiLeaks, we've got Goldstone, we've got the June 2016 meeting.
Right.
We've got all the timeline about them receiving the DNC emails, them tweeting about it, Trump talking about it in a speech, Trump urging Russia to get the emails. Wouldn't it be great? I'm going to make a major announcement. All that timeline, all those points of data coming together around this June 2016 meeting, and now within, and I'm surprised this interview hasn't taken place already, but Hope Hicks is going to be pulled in. Hope Hicks is the communications director at the White House. She's Trump's right-hand gal Friday. Basically, she's considered Trump's gatekeeper. You want a meeting with Trump, you got to go through her.
And she has been for a long time, right?
Yeah, 2012. I mean, she's not that old, but definitely for this campaign.
Yeah, yeah.
And so yeah, if there was any meeting, any request, anything, it's going to have gone through Hope Hicks. And Mueller has now called her in to testify. She's preparing to testify. None of us know
what she's
if she's testified or when she's testified.
Right.
I don't think she has yet. From the sources that I'm getting, she has not testified yet. But the conjecture, the idea, I say conjecture too much. I need a new word. Thesaurus?
We'll think of one by next week.
All right. The idea here is that, you know, well, first of all, Hicks is as inner circle as you can get to Trump.
Right.
And Mueller's already interviewed Reince Priebus and Sean Spicer.
Yeah.
What came out in those interviews? I don't know. But... now Hope Hicks. This is as inner circle as it gets, outside of Kushner and Trump Jr., who they've already subpoenaed several times. So a lot of lawyers are saying, and investigators, you know, professional, you know, amazing investigators who have been doing this for a long time say, that means he's close to the end of this investigation.
Yeah.
When you get that close to the inner circle, you're you're wrapping it up. And not only are you wrapping it up, but you already have everything you need.
Right.
You just need the testimony to see if you can catch these people lying under oath so that if you do, you can have them flip. Because I guarantee you, a 30-year-old Hope Hicks, bright future in front of her, isn't going to take a bullet for Trump.
No,
neither would Kushner, no matter how much Ivanka and Daddy love each other.
Yeah, that loyalty, that thing about Flynn being very loyal to her, you know, father and all that, it's a matter anymore.
Kushner's going to look out for himself and his weird little fucking family. But these people aren't going to be loyal to this guy.
And it's all that matters to Trump is loyalty, so I know he's just got to be tearing apart.
Which pleases me to no end. But that's personal. All right, we're going to move on now. We're going to hand this over to Jordan. Jordan, you this week did some deep diving into Sessions' testimony. Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions the III. If that doesn't sound like the biggest racist ever.
I think we made that character up in the movie.
Yeah. No. People listening 50 years from now, Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions the III is actually our Attorney General.
Oh my God. In 2017.
Take it away, Jordan.
All right. So, yes. Jeff Sessions testified in front of the House Judiciary Committee on Tuesday. This is the latest that he's testified officially. I think this is, his third time now.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah, he did. So, yeah, I'll go over it in all of these ideas. But, he's just really trying to convince them that he's never lied under oath. During his testimony on Tuesday, that was just his main thing. It was like, I'm not saying I wasn't wrong about what I had said in the past. I'm just saying that I wasn't lying.
Oh,
so God. Just trying to absolve himself of getting accused of any sort of...
And he's an attorney. He knows how to do this.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. That's
the whole misremembering and...
Exactly, yeah. Just knowing exactly how to phrase what you're saying to try to basically cover all your bases. Which should be, like, a red flag enough that he's marrying
people,
but it's just, I guess, like how language and the law works is that that's how people actually get out of things.
Exactly.
So the that's horrible reality is that there's a chance that maybe they like just won't be able to prove that he
at least in these testimonies.
Yeah. But okay, so here's a quote from his Tuesday testimony, which really wraps up pretty much everything he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, I have always told the truth, and I have answered every question as I understood them and to the best of my recollection. Mm-hmm. I will not accept, and I reject accusations that I have ever lied under oath. Important.
My head just exploded.
It's the worst kind of lawyer to ever exist. Like, he knows what he's doing.
Oh, he said. Oh, yeah. I'm gonna get into like this other stuff that he's done that you may have seen in the news. Really, that also is just icing on the cake for what a fucking this douchebaggery that he exhibits. But yeah, really, just the important phrase in that is to the best of my recollection.
Whew.
So, just saying, sorry, there are limits. I'm only a human. I've got a brain that fails, and it failed. And there you go.
If it worked for everyone, I would say, all right. But it doesn't. And I'm sorry.
No, no worries. It's so convenient. I almost wonder, too, if all these people that are, having a testify are like, all right, so who's going to use this defense? Because not all of us can.
Oh, my gosh, like, yes. And you plead the fifth. You run away.
Yeah, it's just, like, different ways to try to
run away! Just get up and run away while saying, run away!
I hope one of them tries to fake their own death and they're, like, found in some trash can or something. Just hiding out.
With two pops.
Okay, that's so funny. But, so anyway, that's what happened on Tuesday. So let's take a quick look back at Jeff Sessions' history, testifying in front of Congress. So in January...
It's sad that our Attorney General has a long and sordid history of testifying to Congress.
Ridiculous. Yes.
Our Attorney General, our top lawman in the country.
Yeah, him recusing himself is almost just sad to me, because it's like, why didn't you just leave? Like, you wanted
to left then.
Just locked yourself in.
So glad that he did.
Yeah,
because
it's a perfect storm, right?
We would be in a very different scenario right now if Sessions had either resigned or failed to recuse himself.
So I guess thank you for that, Sessions.
Yeah.
Something you did right.
You dipshit.
Yeah, he's always an
thanks for not being smart.
Yeah. They're all so dumb. That's what's so funny. They're just so stupid.
It's like I watch those fucking cold case file confession shows on the ID channel. And they're sitting in the police station and they put them in a waiting room and they're like, man, I can't believe if we fucking pulled that shit off. And I'm like, what are you doing? Do you not think that there's a camera in there? And then they go in there and they start interviewing them. And they're like sitting there like, I don't know. Like, ask for a lawyer or leave. You're not under arrest. Why are you so stupid? Yeah, so anyway, I just told everyone how to commit murder.
Oh, yeah. They're good at committing crimes, but just not good at covering their asses. Which exactly. is what's so funny to me is this whole... just fucking farce of like a political group is there. It's like money only goes so far, which I guess is nice to know.
Exactly.
You have to be like Putin, rich and smart. Exactly. If you want to have like an actual brain.
Yeah.
But okay. Anyway, sorry. So back in January, he has his confirmation hearing. This is in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee.
Mm-hmm.
This is when he says he was not aware of any contacts between the Trump campaign and Russia. So he goes on record saying that, then that clearly, he writes in March, winds up sending something out via written statement saying, like, you know, just explaining how that is incorrect, because it comes out that there were, that he was, like, at that meeting, and there's, like, no way.
The meeting, the foreign policy meeting that he chaired.
Yes.
And Trump, that was when Trump was, like, when Papadopoulos was there, and Trump's like, I don't know him, never heard of him, he's low level. It doesn't matter. And I meet millions of people. Sarah Huckabee Sanders says, the president meets millions of people and takes pictures with millions of people. And that's the only meeting that ever happened of the foreign policy group. Like, it's the only one.
That's
so funny. Yeah.
Can you imagine Trump saying, what's your name again? Papadopoulos.
What is it? Hippopotamus?
Yeah.
I'll call you Papadoc.
Yeah. Hippopotamus.
But that's like exactly what Sessions winds up saying to try to explain his like ignorance, or you know, quote unquote ignorance of these things. He says, "Oh, well, the Trump campaign was just really chaotic." So
we know that.
Yeah, he's like, I was meeting new people every day, at new meetings every day. I just didn't remember that meeting, that one that you were just talking about in March.
That's not
and it's,
good enough.
Yeah,
Sessions.
Yeah, exactly. So,
that's all this whole thing is with everyone from the top to the bottom is here's what happened. Oh, no, we have this evidence. Okay, well, yeah, that happened. Oh, we also found out this. All right, yeah, okay, that happened too. Let me rewrite my documents.
Jeez.
Well, we also know this. Oh, yeah, I don't remember that, but I'm sure, you know, you said it happened and probably happened. Like, that's all this is.
No ownership whatsoever.
And again, that is the way Mueller works. He comes at you. Mm-hmm. He knows everything already.
Right.
He's the fucking elf on a shelf. And he's like, I know.
I need to get a Mueller elf on a
shelf.
Yeah,
we need to get a Mueller on the...
Stooler?
I don't know. A little guy, and he just sits there. And you can tell your kids he knows everything you've done.
Everything. Just
dude, I bet we could market Mueller on the shelf.
We should.
Okay. We'll look for it in toy stores in a year. Because that's how long it takes us to get shit done.
Yeah,
but
sure. Okay, so January, that meeting happens. Or not meeting, that confirmation hearing happens when he, you know, lies, doesn't remember, take your pick, whatever.
He lied to the Senate.
Yeah.
That's a felony.
Definitely.
Yes, absolutely. He's still to this day sticking with that story that he did not lie.
He has to.
But, you
he doesn't
know, want
to go to jail. I get it.
So then in October...
He would be in trouble, but he wouldn't go to jail.
Yeah. Too rich for that. So in... So
privilege.
In October, exactly, I just get to sit in my, like, home movie theater for the rest of my
in
life.
In my Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions robe with my Jeffrey Beauregard Sessions dog.
So then in October, he has this exchange with Senator Al Franken. Rest in peace, Al Franken. Not really, though. You really were an asshole and deserve everything you're getting. But, not in general, but, you know, I digress.
Anyway. He was an okay, he was a better senator than he was
absolutely.
A comedian.
That's true.
And he's just not funny enough to grab asses.
Yep, there you go.
Yeah. Okay, so.
That's the real crime.
So we got, there's the improv, the yes and. It's not really
yes
people.
Yes and, I was asking for it.
Yes and, I'm disgusting looking and this girl's asleep and beautiful. It's like.
This girl's asleep and beautiful. You just described every rape ever.
Hey, got
no
enemy.
Yeah.
I'm disgusting and this girl's asleep and beautiful. And?
Need I say anymore? Okay, so... I'll go through this fast. So Al Franken asks him, you don't believe that surrogates from the Trump campaign had communications with the Russians? And Sessions says, again in October, just last month, I did not, and I'm not aware of anyone else that did, and I don't believe it happened. So wow,
now, he happened. May have to, let's throw Beauregard a bone.
Yeah.
He might have shut down Papadopoulos, or even Carter Page, or anybody who said, I'm going to go to Russia, Right. He might have said, no, don't do it.
That is what he said.
And, well, he did in the foreign policy meeting.
Yeah.
He might have shut it all down. He might have said, nope.
Right.
But then why not just say, they did tell me about those things, and I told him no, because I'm a badass. He actually did say a little bit about that. And the thing, he's like, even if I did... I said no.
He can say it again and every time.
So, yeah, so basically...
So why'd you cover it up the first three times?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so eventually when he comes out saying that, or just the press coverage comes out with that photo of him at that March 31st meeting...
Then he owns up to it.
Then this is when he says that it jogged his memory, seeing it in the press, mm-hmm. and that's when he was reminded that he was, in fact, at that meeting. And then he says, and on top of that, I remember... saying, guys, don't do this. This is a bad idea.
Your evidence really rang a bell for me.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the whole, I don't know anything about it. I don't know anything about Russia. I never said anything about Russia. I have nothing to do with Russia.
That should be the motto.
Oh, except that one time when they told me about Russia and I said, don't do it.
That's a little long for the bumper sticker, I guess, though. Make America Great Again is just so much shorter.
Yeah. MAGA.
Yeah. So on this, on Tuesday when he's testifying, this is when he now remembers these things officially on record. He says he couldn't remember up until that moment because the Trump campaign was particularly quote-unquote chaotic and sleep was in short supply. So
what?
He's just, and this is a shitty thing, is because you can't go into someone's memory unless there's some other documents that will come out that are, I don't know, maybe something.
Like crime and investigation would be like getting
or like
memory.
Something that was like before it came out in the press. So he can't use the defense that the photo jogged his memory, something that's like recognition of, you know, him being there.
Like,
I don't know.
How can he get
I'm sure
like,
it'll come out, though, because he's just such a fucking liar. And so, then it also comes out that he met with Kislyak twice himself, once at the RNC, just on the sidelines, which he says he just straight up doesn't remember. That's what mm-hmm. he says now.
Right.
And then the second one.
How do we know? If he doesn't know.
Right.
There's
exactly.
got to be a way
it's
to
like,
get through that, you know?
Yeah. And then the second meeting was in his own Senate office with Kislyak, which he is now saying, okay, yes, that happened, but that was not in the capacity of me being a Trump campaigner. That was just in my capacity.
I wanted him so bad to say, that wasn't me colluding with Russia like normal. That was me meeting him as the ambassador.
Like normal.
I know collusion meetings. Yeah, I've got those. That wasn't a collusion meeting. It was just an ambassador meeting.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
It's like, my state really has...
Why didn't you just fucking tell us about it?
From the start, yeah.
Specific state to be talking
he's
with Russia.
Clearly hiding something.
Yeah. He's such a douchebag.
So, just closing this up, his explanation to that, he says, I certainly didn't mean I'd never met a Russian in the history of my life. That's his explanation for how... They're like, okay, so what is this? What are these meetings? And then he's like, well, you know.
We didn't ask you. Have you ever met a Russian in the history of your life?
Just the foreign ambassador to Russia. That's the only one we're really concerned about.
If they
interview
him like 100 more times, they might get the truth by that time.
No.
He inches towards it a little bit every time.
And then on Friday, 2 days ago.
We'll get the truth when Mueller releases it.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw this, but this is just a little fun fact to just close up my segment here. At the Federalist Society event, he's making jokes about his,
He got jokes.
Okay. I mean, they're not funny. It's exactly what we were talking about, just when you're rich, people just sit there and just, guffaw.
Do you know 8 of the 10 federal judges that Trump has appointed are members of the Federalist group? Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah.
Racists!
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's insane. But, yeah, he takes the mic and then, quote-unquote, he says... Ambassador Kislyak in the room, and then the whole room's like, ah, ha, ha, ha. And he says, any Russians? And then they laugh even louder. He says, anybody been to Russia? And then closes it out with, got a cousin in Russia or something?
Wow.
So this guy's just completely...
killing it.
Yeah, and it's just... It's just such a transparent technique, just to, like, so hyperbolically kind of
dismiss
you know,
it.
Yeah, just it's just.
So he's helping destroy democracy, and he's unfunny.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
That's a terrible joke.
I can't tell which one is it. Oh, yeah, there we go. There
Jeff
we go.
Sessions. That's a really bad joke.
Oh, yeah. I heard a bad joke of one of the reporters said he was on CNN. A little too moderate for me. I don't know. But he's for CNN.
Yeah.
But he was like, he said, oh, you know, it's a bad day when Jeffrey Sessions is funnier than Al Franken. And then it totally bombed on the air, which made me happy because this guy was.
Good, good.
Yeah.
Someone's got a bomb.
Someone's got a bomb. Yeah.
Too much.
Jokes about jokes aren't funny.
And that concludes the Jeff Sessions segment.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Thank you, Jordan.
Thank you, ladies. That was fantastic. And now I want to go over our indictment picks, our indictment fantasy league. All right, so we haven't had any indictments since the first show, where we had the Gates Manafort indictment,
right?
Now, I've heard through my sources that there are going to be arrests before Thanksgiving, but they haven't interviewed Hope Hicks yet, so I'm not quite sure. But I would like to change my picks.
Okay.
I'm going straight up with Flynn's son, Donald Trump Jr., and Kushner.
Okay.
Those are going to be my new four.
Sounds good.
And as an aside, they are going to release testimony and guilty pleas like they did for Papadopoulos from Reince Priebus and Lewandowski.
Okay.
So that's my new, that's what I think.
So you're going to say you're going to go to four or six there?
Four indictments.
Okay. Got it.
And two
flips.
Yeah.
Got it.
Releasing of testimony and guilty
and
pleas.
And that was Priebus like, and Lewandowski, yeah. right?
Oh. No, because we've already seen the Carter Page testimony. I'm done. That's my.
I like that categorization. I feel like the indictments versus the flips helps me kind of clear it up too. But I'm gonna add.
Like those people were already arrested.
Exactly.
But
yeah.
Unbeknownst to us.
Yeah.
Definitely. I was thinking for myself, Steve Bannon. I feel like something's gonna happen with him, like something big. And then I'm gonna go with Kellyanne Conway, Kushner. I'm going to have a few. and then these are all indictments I'm thinking. Because if they all lied to some degree, well, I don't know. Did Steve Bannon and Kellyanne actually come out with a lie or just like kind of dipped out? Like,
have they been interviewed? Do you think they've been interviewed?
I wonder if they would have been, but no one said anything. I'm going to go with flips.
Well, because I know they interviewed Spicer and Priebus and the bodyguard.
Spicer. Okay. Today I was just thinking there's so many people I want to ask, so I'm still going to stay with that.
These guys are busy as fuck.
Yeah.
I know.
Steve Bannon, Kellyanne Conway, Kushner. I'm going to keep my first few, which was Flynn's son, Don Jr., and I'm going to take off Rex. I keep thinking about him, and it's like, I don't know. I had Wilbur Ross, too. There's so many people.
He is a Paradise Papers person.
Yeah, there's
yeah.
so many
he, they could all, him, Tillerson, Cohn, all those guys could be indicted on money laundering
so
that have nothing
things.
To do with the Russia probe.
And just knowing how many of those sealed documents are out there, I'm just like, I guess it wouldn't hurt. So yeah, keeping all my original four.
Because we don't actually have any indictments for Russia yet.
Oh, yeah.
Manafort and Gates were just money laundering through
Definitely.
Russia. Nothing about this and, you know,
right.
collusion or obstruction.
I'm going to add Spicer to the flip, though, because he's already been on, like,
You think Spicer will be on the flip?
Yeah, he already seems like he knows he's good. Like, he just...
Maybe,
yeah,
maybe.
I wonder. All right, yeah, that's me. I got a lot. I'm going to do the math later.
I definitely staying with Flynn and Flynn Jr.
Mm-hmm.
And then also Kushner, 100%, I think. These are just the people that we think are getting indicted.
His
next,
goose is
right?
cooked.
Exactly,
yeah.
yeah,
in the
oh,
next
yeah.
round of indictments,
yeah.
whenever they are.
Right.
I heard rumors that they would be before Thanksgiving, but I really don't think we're going to see them until after Hope Hicks is interviewed.
That would make sense, yeah.
But, I mean, it could be that they already have... I know they already have enough on Flynn.
Mm-hmm.
They might already have enough on Kushner.
Yeah.
But they might just want that little extra Hope Hicks bump
right.
To secure it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure, but yeah, so anyway.
Yeah, or to secure some of the, like, crazy... I mean, I guess... What names really are bigger than Kushner, Flynn, all those people,
I
except for, like, Trump himself? Yeah, like,
Trump's
Trump.
Smaller.
Yeah.
yeah, yeah. So there's so many small people that we could name, but
yeah.
I mean, it would take all day.
Yeah, definitely. I'm going to stay with those. I'm just going to do those four, I think. Those
Sounds
are major
good.
Ones.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then I had Paige, So Paige and Carter. I think Paige could.
Paige and Carter.
Yeah, I think Paige could be one that's already been working with them.
That's kind of what I think. And he's already testified in the Senate Judiciary Committee, and he's already come out and said, huh.
Right.
And that's how he talks in my head. And then you also have Clovis and J.D. Gordon. Right, all those guys could have probably already been, I think they've probably already been arrested.
So those are your flips, you say? Paige, Gordon, because she had Gordon last week too, so those are flips for you? Okay,
yeah,
cool.
those smaller fish, I think. It makes more sense to me that they, because if he's getting ready to...
Those are the ones you want to keep secret.
Exactly.
So that you can publicly arrest the big man.
Yeah. Definitely, definitely.
Because if what you say is true, and I think it is about Mueller not going to, you know, interview anybody unless he's, like, already got the answers, if he's going to help pigs, that must mean, like you said, it's coming to the end, sort of, which makes me think that if they haven't released the, you know, arrests of, like, Paige and Clovis and those smaller people...
Or Lewandowski. Just, Gordon.
They've just been working with them.
Would we ever find out, you think, those small people, you think they would?
There's some things we could never find out.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
That
because they made some sort of a deal.
But Mueller seems to be pretty... I don't know. He's very deliberate in every single thing that he does.
Interesting. Yeah, it changes for me. You know
so what? if he was going to release the information from guilty pleas from folks like those smaller fish, it could be to shake Trump. It could be to shake Kushner Jr., anybody else who got indicted that day.
Yeah.
If they indicted him on the same day as they released the flips like he did the last time he indicted two people.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, guys, sabotage.
That's right.
Sabotage time. All right. So, Representative Denny Heck, his name is Heck, of the Intel Committee, sat through a seven-hour-long interview with the co-founder of Fusion GPS this week. His name is Glenn Simpson. Fusion GPS is the Steele dossier, people behind the Steele dossier.
Oh, okay.
And after Denny Heck emerged from that meeting, he was interviewed by somebody from WAPO, I think, Washington Post, could have been WSJ, I'm not sure, but I don't remember exactly, but he said, quote, "This thing is moving fast. People are going to jail. Additional people are going to be indicted."
Nice.
That was this week.
Nice.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I don't know that that changes my picks.
Because additional doesn't mean, like, you know, buttload. It could just be, you know, a few more.
He just means in addition to Manafort and Gates.
Yeah, right. Which is just, you know.
But he walked out of there like, people are going to jail. People are going to be indicted. I need to go take a nap. Yeah. Like, he was just, he was, so, like, and that's after the interview with the co-founder of Fusion GPS.
Wow.
So I'm interested.
Oh, let's go back to the
Steele dossier.
Yeah, and we think about, that is, I've tried reading that once. It's long.
It's really long. So you can read the highlights. It's so much easier. Man. The P-tapes have to come out. That's my big thing. I want the P-tapes out.
That would be a nice little reward at the end of all of this.
Well, guys, I don't fit P. It's a nice
not
reward.
Not for us.
So next week, outside of Mueller on a Shelf, you guys, next week we're going to talk about any arrests that happened this week. I'm not feeling it this week. I have safely predicted no arrests for the last 2 weeks, and I'm going to go ahead and say one more time, even though I have strong sources telling me that arrests are going to be made before Thanksgiving, I don't think they're going to be. If they are, then they're going to be those quiet arrests like Papadopoulos, like Hippopotamus.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Hope Hicks interview, if that goes down this week. I'm not sure. And then, of course, next week, I also wanted to talk about an article written in The Atlantic called The Making of an American Nazi. This is about the founder of the Daily Stormer. That's the Nazi white nationalist, white supremacist website. And his ties to Russia and Trump, interestingly enough.
Oh, yeah.
So, you guys, I'm AG.
I'm Jordan Coburn.
I'm Jaleesa Johnson.
And this has been Mueller, She Wrote.